The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chusa, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. I attended the ordination of 2 priests. Maybe you remember Father Joseph Rampino, who was the seminarian was with us last summer, and a priest named Father Colin Davis. The two of them were ordained priests yesterday. Since Bishop Laverty was sick, Archbishop Broglio came and celebrated the ordination mass and ordained these 2 deacons, transitional deacons, to the priesthood. The gospel yesterday was the classic gospel of mission from St. John, when Jesus questions Peter, "Do you love me?" You know the one, very beautiful gospel. "Do you love me?" What Archbishop Broglio said about that gospel was something I'd never heard before. He said Jesus didn't ask Peter, "How did you do on the test?" He didn't ask Peter, "What do you know about circumcision in the Blessed Trinity?" He didn't ask Peter what his judgments were on other people. He didn't even have much to say about authority, although we give this particular gospel a great deal of credit for the authority of the chair of Peter in the church. He says to Peter, "Do you love me?"
Love is the linchpin between everything that we do. We have to love. Even in the face of our human weakness and our sin, we have to love. And we know that there's no such thing as an unforgivable sin. Otherwise, sin would be greater than God. And we know that God is greater. So don't believe that there are filters that you have to pass through or hoops that you have to jump through in order to be a part of this body of Christ. You simply have to love. Well, I say simply, but it's not that simple, is it? We come from places of sinfulness, all of us. Look at King David in the first reading. Guilty not only of adultery, but also of murder. You might say, well, this is an unforgivable sin. How can God possibly, in his justice, allow this to happen? In fact, in God's mercy, he even uses the situation, and the child is born named Solomon. He becomes a very wise leader for the people of God. If you want to take it down a number of generations further, even Jesus comes from the line of King David. So out of sin, God can do anything. But the one thing that we have to do in order to be forgiven of our sins is we have to ask. And this is what most people don't do today, and I don't understand why. You have to ask. It's like baptism. You might say, well, why doesn't everybody have the gift of faith? The gift of faith and the sacrament of baptism is given to anybody who asks for it. The only reason people don't have it is that they didn't ask. And this is the same with forgiveness for sins. You have to ask, just like any gift. But what kind of gifts do we ask for? We tend to ask more for material things, or things that provide us more security, or maybe things that help us to feel more important in life, maybe things that help us be comfortable. But in the gospel that Archbishop Broglio spoke about yesterday, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter, in his own limited way, he says, yes, of course, I like you very much. And Jesus says, then feed my sheep, then serve my church. The authority of God and the forgiveness of God is given to us so that we might feed and we might serve others. So we go to the gospel today, another beautiful gospel. Very complicated if you want to think about it for a little while. Obviously, this Pharisee is trying to set Jesus up in his own house, because why in the world would he allow a prostitute into his dinner party? A Pharisee of all people would not have allowed their house to be defiled unless they had a greater priority in their life, and his priority was to trap and to have Jesus murdered. So the Pharisee has in his heart a very difficult, difficult reality. I don't know if you read on Friday, Pope Francis has raised the memorial of Mary Magdalene on July 22nd to a feast of the church. This is something kind of new. He has given Mary Magdalene a feast day on the same level as the apostles, because he calls Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostles, the witness to the resurrection, the woman who was a great sinner, clearly, according to Luke anyway, a great sinner who found the solution in love. And we see that love happening at the table of this crooked Pharisee. And we're asked to compare the priest who outwardly is perfect and does everything right, the woman who is known to be a huge sinner and is judged by everybody. She's the one with the perfumed ointment, washing the feet of Jesus, anointing him with oil, providing the kind of hospitality that Pharisee should have provided at a minimum. If you had guests to your house, and you should try this sometime, have a dinner party, and when they come in, wash their feet, anoint them with perfume. Because, you know, in the day of Jesus, things were a little stinky and the streets were dirty. And in order to make your guests feel at ease, you helped clean them up a little bit. You know, that's why I think people have like powder rooms in their house. Because you get all that street off your feet. And after you've been traveling all day long, maybe a little perfume might make you feel less self-conscious. Well, this Pharisee forgot even the most basic hospitality that you would provide for any guest. But Mary Magdalene, who has this gift of love, finds herself expressing that love in this beautiful way. In your ministry, you must love. Also, this is a big misunderstanding today because there are a lot of young people in the world who are very interested in doing service projects. But we have to distinguish between why we do it. Is it because it's something I am doing, or is it something I'm doing for that person? Who is it that I serve, not what am I doing? Because our ministry of love must be about another person. Love cannot exist outside of a relationship. We can't just have a concept of love in our life. It doesn't mean anything unless there is an object of that love. Relationship is key. All the work that we do of unity and peacemaking in the world, it doesn't make any sense if we do it just for the sake of unity and for the sake of peace. We have to love first and then act in our lives. But the challenge that is placed before us today, how much are you willing to love without a guarantee of return? How much are you willing to love like God has loved you without a guarantee of return from you as we continue to live our lives growing in that love of God?